Chapter 16. Adele looked at the sky as Daniel and the chief engineer made a final inspection of the thrusters. She wasn't a weather expert, but she glanced at Hogg standing beside her on the quay alongside the Princess Cecile. He nodded gloomily.
"Aye, be coming down like a cow pissing off a flat rock before long," he said. "God knows what it'll be like to take off in."
Adele frowned, thinking back. She had to restrain herself from getting out of the data unit. "We've taken off in rain before," she said. "I don't recall it making any difference, did it?"
"Yeah, well, we'll see."
The Pansuela's open car splashed toward the harbor, flanked by the rainbows its tires cast up. The Klimovs, worn by Vessi on the bridge, appeared in the main hatch to await their visitors. The Count had been adamant about getting out of Pansuela House immediately after the shooting. Valentina had come back to the ship with him, though she'd exhibited more amusement than concern.
"He could have gotten his head shot clean off," Hogg said, glowering at the Count, but obviously referring to Daniel. "And for what? For some wog who thinks he's something?"
He glared at Adele in outrage.
"What I know, mistress, is when two guys have a problem about a girl, the job of every bloody buddy else is to keep out of the way and let 'em settle it, right?"
"You'd have done the same thing if Daniel instead of the Count had been at risk, Hogg." Adele said it in a neutral tone. She wasn't willing to have her silence read as assessment, but neither did she want to argue with Hogg in his present mood. At least now she knew why he was so angry. Hogg flashed her a slight hard smile.
I would, mistress," he said, his tone minutely lighter. "But you and I will be a lot older before we see Daniel Leary crawling on his belly to get out of a fight, eh?"
The idea was so incongruous that Adele chuckled. "Yes, there's that," she said. The Pansuelas were coming down the path, followed by a servant carrying a small box under a piece of damask. The Klimovs started across the boarding bridge to meet them on the quay. Somebody representing the ship ought to be present also.
"Besides which," Hogg said venomously, "nothing more was going to happen to the Count if the young master just let things take their course. That so-called priest was going to be sporting a third eye hole before he got off another shot."
"Yes, he was," Adele said, "but that didn't happen." She cleared her throat. "Daniel is busy under the ship, and it doesn't look like Mr. Chunin is going to appear." Though it wasn't the duty of a junior warrant officer, she knew the crew expected Signals Officer Mundy to deputize for the captain when necessary in any sort of social setting.
"I suppose I'll join our employers."
Adele thought about the night before as she walked to the foot of the boarding bridge where the two parties would meet. She'd killed in the past, and due to the life she now lived, by her own choice, she would very likely kill again. That was part of what she was. But at the point she stopped caring that she killed, she'd be another creature like Tovera. There'd be an Adele Mundy who was intelligent and cultured, but who was no longer human and who'd never regain her soul. She wasn't sure that those close to her, even Daniel, would recognize the difference, but she herself would know, and Tovera would know, looking into Adele's eyes and seeing a mirror.
"Lady Mundy," Enrique Pansuela said when he had last noticed Adele.
He was drugged again, walking stiffly and talking with a complete lack of effect. His addiction allowed him to function with his normal intelligence, but he showed no more emotion than the concrete key.
"Patron," Adele said, nodding crisply.
"It's by his choice, just as I carry a gun by my choice." The sight gave her a twinge of sadness nonetheless.
"Lady Pansuela,"
Flora acknowledged with a toss of her head. Makeup couldn't hide the bruise on her right cheekbone. Her hair was teased high into a series of combs hand-carved from some opalescent material. Fish scales, or perhaps bones? Something to look up as soon as Adele could, with propriety, bring out her data unit. The Klimovs reached the quay, Valentina leading the Count. She offered Enrique her hand while eyeing his wife with cool amusement. Enrique touched the Klimovna's fingertips and dipped his head in a scant bow, seemingly oblivious to any emotional currents. Count Klimov cleared his throat. He kept his eyes on the concrete, except for quick glances at the others around him, the way a mouse might look from its hole to a room full of people.
"You'll be returning to Torres Santos?" Enrique asked with a bland friendliness.
He glanced at the sky without any sign of concern that he'd been riding back to his house in an open car.
"No, Captain Leary has suggested a planet called Morzanga," Klimov said to his boots of tooled leather. "It's not on the way to anything, but time isn't of concern to us. His uncle found the wreckage of a starship there, which the captain now thinks might be John Tsetse's yacht, since we know Tsetse's passed this way from the buckle."
"Yes, you explained your interest in this John Tsetse," Enrique said. "We'd like to give him your present, Flora dear. Will you make the presentation?"
His wife colored under her dark skin.
"No, you do it," she said. As you please, dear one, Enrique said. Hector, bring the gift forward.
The servant stepped between the panzuelas. Enrique flipped off the damask and opened the box, still in the servant's hands. Count Klimov began to tremble. Valentina laughed. Adele leaned forward, expecting to see John Setzi's belt buckle. Instead, the box held a pistol Father Rosario had been using. Now that she had time to examine it, she realized it was of platinum with the Novi Sverdlovsk flag picked out in gold on the receiver.
I hope this will make amends for the difficulties of last night, Enrique said. It seemed a suitable gift, all things considered.
No, said the Count, in a choked voice. No, you keep it.
On the contrary, Gorgi, dear one, said the Klimovna.
She took the pistol from the box, pursing her lips at its unexpected weight.
I think this is a wonderful gift, and think of the story we'll have to tell when we return home.
She looked at Enrique and bowed.
I wish there were something we could give you in exchange.
Her eyes turned minusculely to look at Flora.
But perhaps my husband already has, darling.
Thunder roll, Daniel called something cheerful. The spacers holding the lines pulled his inflatable raft toward the quay. Adele looked at the two couples. She said nothing and showed nothing, but she was glad the Princess Cecile would be lifting from Tegeli very soon.